Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Bring it up, Jake. We figure let's come right out of the chute here with all our picks for tonight and for the weekend. We haven't done a ton on the NBA and the National Hockey League over the course of the show because, obviously, we had round one of the NFL draft last night, a lot to discuss. We will do a bleep load on Monday on the NFL draft once it's all done, any trades that are going to be consummated, and we're going to have a really good idea. Like, these are the rosters. This is what it's going to look like. Some star players are going to get cut after June 1st, so like there will be some movement still, but we're going to know by and large how these teams are going to look now on Monday, and we'll be able to talk a lot about projecting the season, who's going to win the Super Bowl, and if it's not Kansas City, who will it be? Maybe that's how we'll frame it. So a lot of NFL on Monday, maybe a little more coming up this hour also, but let's get into all the NBA and all the NHL postseason. We'll get to Jake and his baseball picks for tonight as well. How about like a throwback here? A really early Power Hour dropping of the Dope Ass Beat. All right, dealer's choice, Ken. Would you rather start with the NBA or the National Hockey League for tonight's slate?
Why don't we start with the NBA, just because we have an NBA game going on. We already did picks for that game. It's like one long continuation. I think that makes a bunch of sense.
By the way, live market, Indiana minus 10.5 with the Pacers holding a 22-12 lead here, about 4 minutes to play in the first quarter. Live total now sitting 221.5, 2 points down from what it was at tip-off. So that's what's happening with the Bucks and the Pacers, 51 degrees in Central Park. Mavericks and the Clippers, the second game tonight. Series tied at a game apiece. Shifting back to Dallas, Mavs a 4.5-point home favorite, Ken, after Luka's heroics at the end of Game 2 to even the series at 1. The total for this game is 213.5.
Yeah, and some interesting injury stuff going on in this game. Obviously, the thing that everyone's been paying attention to is Kawhi, who I think we kind of expect to play, played in Game 2, present at shoot-around was the way it was framed for status for today's game. No reason to think otherwise. Obviously, you wonder about effectiveness and, you know, like movement when you're talking about injuries like this, but think he's going to play. And then for the Mavs, like, is Daniel Gafford going to play in this game? Be like, why are we talking about Daniel Gafford? Be like, well, because the Mavs had the best defense in the NBA after acquiring him, and he may not play.
And he shoots, what, 98% from the field also. Doesn't take a ton of shots, but never misses when he shoots, basically.
Well, here's the shot. Pick and roll with Luka. Luka, like, does a great job getting the defender on his back, gets into the lane. Daniel Gafford points up and then jumps and then dunks the ball. That's what happens. And Luka's, like, the best at throwing that pass. So it's going to score a lot of points when you're able to do that. And same thing with Lively, obviously, too, rim running. In terms of the side and the total of the game, a couple things I think are going to happen. I think that Luka is going to have a really, really, really good scoring game, would be my guess. Listen, a really good pod. This is a good pod in general, but a good episode a couple days ago. Like, Reddick's Old Man in the Three pod is good in general, like, really good pod in general. But like Tim Legler, somebody who I really like, used to go on Van Pelt all the time, still does, but I used to work on that show, and so like really like Tim Legler. The two of them did like 90 minutes on every series a couple days ago, and it was really fun. Now some of that's dated because the games were last night, but Legler's like breakdown basically of his opinion is, even though Luka has not shot the ball particularly well, and much more has been written about his defense, actually, and how much he's defended at a high level, Legler's point was the shot quality for Luka in this series so far has been really, 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 really high in terms of the quality of looks that he's getting, and he's just not making them. And basically his point is, whether it's going home or just like as the series goes on, basically Luka's too good to continue to miss quality shots like this and across both of the games. So this is just sort of like, you know, look, it's props. This is not my area of expertise, but I hear something interesting like that. I don't really have a strong opinion on like who's going to win the game. I kind of think the side's okay. And I see Luka Doncic 33.5, which is like pretty similar to how he's been lying throughout the season, but he scored a lot of points, leading scorer in the league. I'll bet over on that, and over on his threes too, I think, which was kind of Tim's point, just with the quality, especially of the 3-point looks, like his I think his exact quote was like, we're due soon for like a really, really good Luka scoring game. He's getting too many good looks. Like this isn't the Clippers defense. It's more about Luka missing shots. So I'll play into that for a couple bucks. Really enjoyed that analysis.
I will hold your feet to the fire though. If you had to bet the side of the game, you're not going to, but if you had to, what would you do? Cause I have like a decently strong take.
I think for now I would be comfortable saying I like Dallas in the game. But I think obviously the pivot point to that is if I get the Kawhi that I got in game two, I like Dallas. But if I get like the difference between game two and game three, similar to like how Joel Embiid improved from game two to game three, and then obviously the Clippers become really a lot more interesting. So much like with the Sixers series, am I projecting improvement? Or am I projecting clunky again? And it's like, if I'm projecting clunky again, then like this is like Luka 50 and this thing gets out of hand probably by the end of the game. But it just, again, like I don't like guessing at that exact thing. Like I'd rather just bet Luka plays well and almost ignore whether I think Kawhi is going to do anything.
We have some a situation here that we need to discuss in this Pacers-Bucks game. Pacers with an alley-oop, Damian Lillard goes down, is pointing at a member of the Pacers. I didn't see what happens. Oh, so this is Bucks on the offensive end. Lillard goes up for a layup.
His foot is
and,
sticking
comes
out
down
of his
awkward.
Sneaker. Right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's, like, really... I mean, he could come back into the game for all I know. He looks like he's hurt. And just... And I don't have the sound on, but you can tell, like, the Pacers' energy is crazy. Halliburton just threw an alley-oop to Siakam.
You can see it from the second replay. His ankle tweaks in a weird direction. Yeah.
So, I mean, he could come back in at some point. But, like, I feel like the Pacers might win this game by like 1,000 points. That's the way like it's trending right now.
Well, and let's be perfectly honest, like it seems unlikely that Giannis is going to come back in this series. Chris Middleton's already hurt and playing, and Lillard's injured. I just like doesn't take a genius to project that the Pacers are now much more likely to win this series.
Did you see what Woj said on NBA Countdown, by the way? And I only know this because we were talking about this off air, like something they do with like the Chiron that I don't love. So Woj's, just like the way that language is used sometimes, like is purposeful, right? So Woj, I think, had been painting a picture that, you know, the Bucks were like hopeful that Giannis would come back at the end of the series. Now it's hopeful he'll be back like at some point. Like, to me, it sounds like a lot more negative that Giannis is going to come back in the series. So I agree with what you just said.
We kind of felt that day, though, right? Like, didn't we kind of feel that way? Like, even the way it was reported at the start, you thought he was coming back?
I thought, like, game five, like, he'll probably be back. Also, like, we've seen this a couple times with Giannis, over the course. Last year against Miami, and then the Eastern Conference Final of the year they won against Atlanta. When it looked like, oh my God, he's going to be out for a long time, and he's back like two games later. So that's kind of what I expected, was that he might be back for game four, game five. Now I kind of feel like he's not coming back. Like maybe like if they could stretch this to seven, it kind of feels to me like Indiana's going to just win the series in five if this is what it's going to be. Lillard just went to the locker room.
Trying to figure out the current Bucks five-man lineup.
O'Connell, they're up by 17. Pacers up 17.
So obviously it's closing minute of the quarter, so Middleton won't be in the game with like his normal rest as a starter. Beverly, Connaughton, Beasley, Portis. And then who is number 20 again? It's not Brooke Lopez.
No, I was going to say like Lopez, maybe.
Oh, yeah, like, but I don't know who... like aside from Portis, like in isolation, what is the offense here? And you don't, you never have to double Portis, so like you're sticking to shooters. I sound like freaking, like, you know, Greg Popovich right now or something, but like the how are they scoring? Like, I don't understand. Like,
well,
Lillard,
the answer is they're not
creating. Yeah, but the Pacers defense is so bad. You're almost just like, how is this going to go? Is this going to be like a Pacer avalanche that goes over because they don't have to try at the defensive end? Or is this going to get into like a really ugly kind of game? Because I don't know how the Bucks are creating any offense. I don't. And it's also worth noting, although everybody knows this, Doc Rivers is the Bucks head coach. And if there
he
is
should
probably
just, like,
a head
walk
coach,
over to the, he should walk over to the broadcast table and just sit down and put a headset on and start calling the game.
Well, you know, Doris.
Come back.
I left after a Pacers Bucks game, and now I'm coming right back in the middle of one. How can you trust that coaching staff to come up with any adjustment whatsoever? It's the thing they're the worst at.
But like, there is no adjustment, though. Hand. Like, to be fair, like, there's no adjustment. Like, you know what the adjustment is? Like, get the good players back. They're all
yeah,
hurt.
But like, they're a coach. Like, okay, so this is a terrible situation for any coach to be in. Rank the NBA head coaches like 1 to 30 of who you would trust the most in this situation to figure something out. I mean, he's in the bottom five. Like Monty Williams is probably worse than him, and it's like I don't who was even coaching the Wizards at the end of the year? Like, again, you could put these
Brian
guys
Keefe,
in, but like
Brian Keefe, the immortal.
Sure, yeah, Sheldon's cousin, right? It's a similar successes so far. So the just okay, like this is not an area of strength, I guess would be my point. Whereas like honestly, like put like Taylor Jenkins with a roster like this, which by the way he had the whole season and had to figure it out. He figured it out. Like, I just there's a difference. So I just even more pessimistic, honestly, because not only are there no adjustments, there's not going to be any attempt at anything intelligent here. That's like the worst part.
The Super Bowl 21 final score at the end of the first quarter, 39-20 Bucks. Yeah. Unless this is a foul call, then Beverly's going to shoot free throws. If Lillard's out, like Indiana's going to win this game by 40. They're going to avalanche them. And the series is Cancun. Over. Yeah. Can you 1-2-3 Cancun down 2-1 in a series?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. if any team could do that, the Doc Rivers Milwaukee Bucks of this year would definitely fit that description. A team that lost three straight games to tanking teams.
Can I?
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, like
so
this team. No team does that like this team. They're the best.
Okay, so let's spin this forward, right? And look, Lillard could come back, and they could come back in this game. It feels likely at this point, not definite. Indiana will win the series. They're up by 19 in game one, in game three right now, take a 2-1 series lead.
Yeah, you play out the bracket.
Well, I was gonna say it makes the Knicks Sixers series that much more important.
Yeah, who gets the crack at Boston? That's what that series is gonna decide. Who gets to take their best shot at the Celtics? I think there are a lot of people where it's depending on which team it is. They'd like that team against Boston just to be competitive, maybe not even to win the series, but like a lot of people like that. If Embiid improves as the postseason goes on, which is a huge if, then
he scored 50 last night. I don't know, he's been pretty awesome, right?
Well, home game with multiple days off between conference finals won't work like that. Game 6-7, I don't think in the series works like that. So like it's set up for him to be good, and so is tomorrow. So is 2 days from now. That's the whole point. So like, yeah, sure. I think like the Knicks could be competitive against the Celtics in a lot of ways. We did that already on the show. So yeah, I agree with you. Puts even more importance on the Knicks Sixers series, which that was kind of the thing the whole time with Philly though, is it was like, well, and then you get the Bucks Pacers and Giannis is hurt or whatever. So it's not like anything's changed other than you do get like the confirmed worst rated team out of the matchup. Where at least the Bucks have like some upside. I mean, that whoever wins Sixers Knicks, so Pacers would have home court, which would affect the series price. Man, that's like, what price do you need to bet Indiana against either of those?
Oh
two?
No, Indiana
would
have
big
home
number.
Against Philly, they would have home court. Correct.
6-7. Yeah.
Yes.
I guess the Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the Knicks in that series? -400, -500.
Yeah. I think Indiana's like against the Knicks. I think like Indiana's unbettable.
Am I crazy off with what I think the price is and it's less?
No, I don't think so.
I gotta tell you, if you're gonna deal like 250 and 300, like I think I'd bet the Knicks.
What about Philly?
It'll be less because they don't have home court. But
it would be more if Philly had home court.
Yeah. Who would bet the Pacers? And that just to win the series, not like cover numbers. Fun
well,
games,
if Doc Rivers were the Sixers coach, but if Nick Nurse is the Sixers coach, no.
Oh man, it's funny because it's like so much has changed, and yet it's like yeah, cool. Like this was the whole point of getting the seven and playing that first round series because like you get this and then you don't get Boston until the third round. So it's sort of like the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Also, like I think the Mavericks are going to smash the Clippers tonight. Back to the point from 10 minutes ago.
No, we got to one game. That's good. We're on a good clip so far. Yeah.
We're on a great pace here. Rest of the NBA bets for tonight, hockey bets for tonight, and then we'll give you all our bets for the weekend in sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.